Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang. This week, let's talk about a really relevant issue that's actually a huge factor in many people's journey with fertility, which is the difference between medicine in an ideal world and medicine in real life. Obviously, we can talk about the ability to afford and access healthcare, the ideal of access, perfect testing, working with an integrative healthcare team, the ideal supplements and diets to follow, but so many of us are in circumstances in which none of those perfect scenarios can actually be achieved. There are many barriers to ideal care, but the biggest ones I see are location, resources, lack of cooperation, lack of personal resources, and then also lack of insurance and insurance limitations.
Yes, please elaborate. Tell me more. I agree.
Well, so location, I mean, couples in bigger cities are obviously going to have access to more healthcare options, more specialized healthcare, more advanced options than couples in rural areas. And likewise, couples in more affluent areas will have more options than couples in areas with lower means. And that's, you know, that's a difficult one to get around. Resources is an extremely difficult obstacle to overcome because resources in the form of time, in the form of knowledge, in the form of money can severely limit access to care. And the ability to afford assisted reproductive technology, the ability to afford adjunct care from, say, a naturopathic doctor, or even access good food and supplements. It isn't just about money, but also time, right? Assisted reproductive technology and other care can often only be completed during business hours, only in more urban areas, and often requires time off work, time to travel, and other accommodations to achieve.
I 100% agree with that. Many women who do IVF are like, this is a full-time job. My fertility has become a full-time job.
Exactly. Exactly. And how do you fit that in the real world, right? Like while you're balancing everything else. There's also lack of cooperation. And this is kind of a more subtle problem, but many couples get caught in the middle of an opinion war between different practitioners. And this can often happen when they're working with a number of different specialists or when one part of their care team is against treatments proposed by another part of their care team. And this is a less common issue, but it can be incredibly stressful and difficult for the patient simply because it puts the burden of complex medical knowledge and decision-making pretty squarely on their shoulders only. And of course, we're all responsible for our healthcare decisions, but in this situation, the patient can really be left feeling unsupported. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's also lack of personal resources to follow protocols. Fertility is very high stress and it's time sensitive. And it's also usually a situation of high motivation. But if you're starting out with, say, the standard American diet, sedentary lifestyle, and maybe a complex condition like PCOS or something like diabetes, where we really have a lot of pretty drastic changes your healthcare team wants you to make, it can feel very overwhelming and impossible no matter how motivated you are. Especially since with fertility, they want you to make all those changes, you know, yesterday. Lack of insurance is a major problem. Healthcare, especially in America, is of the highest quality as long as you or your insurance company can afford it. But the most recent data I've seen says nearly 30 million Americans do not have health insurance at all.
Can we just take a moment for that?
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is terrifying. It is terrifying. That's 30 million people, right? And when the average cost of one cycle of in vitro fertilization is between $15,000 to $20,000 and sometimes as much as $30,000, that's a huge barrier. Mm-hmm. And then there's also insurance limitations. Lots of times your doctor or care team decide that the right path for you is one that your insurance isn't willing to pay for. And that can be a really tough situation for patients and practitioners alike. Because fighting with the insurance company is something that I don't think anybody really enjoys.
No.
Obviously, Kate, you and I both work with in real life medicine and not ideal situations daily. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with everything that you said. And I think those are really important points. I find as a person practicing in the US that the biggest factor is we don't have healthcare or healthcare insurance available to all Americans. That statistic you just quoted. This is a huge barrier for my clients, larger than location or lack of cooperation or lack of personal resources. We can't even get in the door. And sometimes I do think that's why people will reach out to a naturopath or another holistic healthcare provider, and why I've tried to really talk about the importance of diagnosis here, because just because they can't access a diagnosis because of cost doesn't mean it's not important, doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to it. But sometimes that's why they don't get a diagnosis, is if you don't have access to insurance, you can't afford a diagnosis. I understand where that's coming from. So for me, insurance is a huge barrier.
Do you have any recommendations for couples who are dealing with some form of infertility who might be faced with some not ideal medical situations?
Yeah. As has been our theme for this entire season, I do think pinpointing a diagnosis is the most important place to start, plus charting your cycles so you can better time intercourse and you can realize if you are or are not ovulating, and take a prenatal. And then use the resources that we've given you in this season 3. Listeners can refer back to season 3, episode 11, Hidden Information in Your Annual, episode 9, Preconception Supplements, episode 8, Fix These Things Before Trying to Get Pregnant, and episode 7, Preconception Care, What You Really Need.
Yep. Our goal really is to help listeners to do the things that they can do for themselves without complex intervention, and also to know when the complex intervention is really worth the money, right? Like a good diagnostic workup is.
Yep.
There are some things you can always do for yourself, especially in this internet age where you have access to good information. I always recommend having one trusted medical team member, right, who can really help to guide you and help you to really understand the most important parts of the medical world. Understand your own body, which means, again, like exactly like you said, chart your cycle. Basic testing, do some of your own work. But cycle charting gives you a huge amount of information just from that one step. And that's really all on you. That's not, your practitioner is never going to do that for you.
I agree. And I would like to remind listeners that in addition to the episodes I just mentioned, we have an entire episode on charting your cycle for fertility. So check that one out as well, because you can come armed with a lot of information about your own body after charting your cycles for 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So having one trusted medical team member, it could be your primary care or your midwife or your OB-GYN, but make sure to find one person who's solidly on your side and who will walk through this journey with you. Even if some of the things you're doing aren't necessarily within their wheelhouse, a good practitioner will tell you when they don't know something. And if they never don't know something, that's a bad sign, right? Mm-hmm.
And if they're not referring out, that's a bad sign too.
Also a bad sign. Yep. And in terms of understanding your own body, just know the basics and do some of your own research. So I'm not a huge fan of Dr. Google. I'm not an advocate there, but there are a lot of really good resources that can help you to understand your health better. So it is important to keep a list of symptoms that you have or that you think might or might not be related to fertility. Because once you get into a doctor's office or you're actually talking to somebody, it's easy to forget. I always recommend making a master symptom list that includes symptoms you experience with your cycle, as well as a few months worth of cycle charting using the fertility awareness method that we've discussed before, but also ongoing symptoms, things like fatigue or things like migraines or things like whatever it is, and also occasional symptoms and your basic health parameters, age, BMI, normal blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. Just putting all that information together sometimes can trigger an aha moment for either you or your practitioner, right?
Absolutely. I recommend a 3-ring binder. That's what I say to my clients. And then bring in your labs printed out in a 3-ring binder, in addition to sending them over via fax, so that if they don't get uploaded into the chart, you can just pull them out and show them.
We are in an age of medicine now where we really truly have to advocate for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You can't just expect your doctor to remember everything, because it's not village medicine anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the one doctor for the 30 households in the village. It's the one doctor for freaking everybody that walks in the door. And realistically, unless they are just the most amazing doctor in the universe, nobody can hold that much information, right? You can't remember everything about every client. So it's really important that you help them to fill in the gaps.
Right. And because of insurance, at least in the country where I practice, visits are short. So yeah. they can't get to everything.
They are here too. I think that's the same everywhere. And also, as Kate has educated us about cycle charting, right? Your menstrual cycle is really pivotal to fertility, and charting using the fertility awareness method can really give you information about whether or not you're ovulating each month, right? Like that is a huge key pivotal piece of information. If you're ovulating regularly, if you're menstruating regularly. And then when you combine that with symptom tracking, you can also tell if you have regular hormone symptoms that are showing up at some other part of your cycle that you might not have noticed. Saves your practitioners a lot of time and hopefully avoids the need for hormone testing, because a lot of times your hormone picture, you know, is very clear.
Right. And sometimes, more often than one would think, a woman will be having somewhat regular cycles. Let's say she hasn't gotten pregnant for a year, but she has regular cycles and she's been having regular intercourse. And then she'll start charting her cycles in addition to using the ovulation predictor kits, and she'll realize she's not ovulating. That's very important information to tell your doctor if you are cycling. Hey, I'm cycling, but I used ovulation predictor kits along with cycle charting, and I don't see ovulation. I want to communicate that to you.
That is huge information. It's very, very important. And then basic testing, right? Get as much basic testing from your primary care or covered by insurance as you can. Many of the fancier or more specific labs are costly and only run by specialists. But your GP can inexpensively test for iron levels and ferritin, as we've talked about, thyroid hormones, blood sugar levels, homocysteine, which may be an indicator of B vitamin deficiency, or an MTHFR or MTRR polymorphism.
Yep, absolutely. And then, again, I would refer back to that episode on hidden information in your annual, because we kind of go over all of that again.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really good point. And then there's a lot of background work that you can do that you don't necessarily need a doctor for, right? Manage your weight. Really, you know, do the work to figure out what works for you, because both underweight and overweight situations can contribute to infertility. So it's a parameter that you can work on by yourself. And of course, for some women, this really does need support. But for some women, it's doable. They just need to take the reins. Diet. We do have an episode coming up on the ideal diet and also not ideal diets for fertility, but a lot of it is common sense. And this is something that you can take charge of at home. And remember that a good diet doesn't have to be an expensive diet, but it does usually involve a little bit more home cooking. Seed cycling is something that you can do for hormone balance, and it's something you can do very inexpensively and at home. And it's very safe. It's something that, you know, most women can use without necessarily having a practitioner to guide them. Cycle charting, reiterate, cycle charting, chart your cycle. Exercise, sedentary lifestyle is good for absolutely no one. So incorporating activity into your routine is an easy step towards fertility. And then also decreasing alcohol and caffeine, right? It's not necessarily easy, speaking as a coffee addict, but it is something that's doable without a practitioner's intervention.
Absolutely.
Kate, do you have other thoughts on this?
I think you've covered it, and I really hope the entire season 3 of this podcast will help. And I do hope that people listening will go back and re-listen to those episodes I referred to, because I think you can find a lot of support and love from Amy and myself in those.
Yay! Yeah, we all do have to deal with medicine in real life. That's universal, right? For all of us, there are some limitations. So it really can help to have a few tools in your tool belt to help yourself along the way. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And Dr. Kate, thank you as always for your time and insight.
Thank you.
Kate and I busted time today because, let's face it, we like to talk. Please watch the video version in the show notes. See more of Dr. Kate at namesnd.com. That's namesnd.com. Or visit tohealthwiththat.com for myself, Dr. Amy. See you next week.